this morning, I want to take another kind of look at something I shared at the end of last year. And that coming on the theme of shining bright for the Lord, where the word of the scripture says, and that shine your light before men, that they might see your good deeds and glorify the Lord. Well, I want to say today, I've got a testimony. I've got a testimony. I am a testimony towards the Lord of his goodness and what he's done. You see, many believers and many times they fail to realize that one of the greatest weapons that we have against hell is our testimony. Your testimony makes you a threat to hell. So open your mouth and testify. Let's read for a little bit from scripture, and then I want to jump into a few things today and kind of unravel why you need to open your mouth more, connected to your heart, connected to your heart. And when it's not connected to your heart, you just need to keep your mouth. Thank you. Amen? I didn't want to say that because that might have sounded really harsh, so I let you say half of it, so I felt good, right? Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. Verse 1 to 9, and then I'm going to jump to 20 to 24. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 to 9, and then 20 to 24. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among you, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord, the presence of God, into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulders according to the number of tribes that Israel of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when the children ask, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be put as a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of Jordan according to the number of the tribes of Israel, as the Lord had told Joshua, and carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan in the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they were there to this day. Verse 20 to 24. And Joshua set up at Gilead, the 12 stones that he had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when the descendants ask their fathers, what did these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he did to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Jesus, I pray that you would help me to take these words and what you've asked me to share, and Lord, that it would pierce into every one of our hearts, that we would not be just hearers of them, but we would put it into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. So Joshua here, he chooses 12 men out of the 12 tribes of Israel, and he commands them each to take a stone. See, these stones were to be used as a pillars of testimony to the miracle God, the miracle power of God dividing the Jordan and delivering the children of Israel. It was required that every man would take up a stone upon his shoulders. In other words, every one of those 12 men had to carry his own testimony. Okay? Sometimes, you know, we can have family testimonies where someone in your family, something God's done, you're a part of that family, you begin to express that. You know, look what God did in my family. Maybe you take on a part of a church testimony. Man, I can't believe it. Look what God's doing at Rockcliffe. I can't believe with the government loving us and this and that. Oh my goodness, it's amazing. God, you are amazing. And those testimonies, we're to ring it out. Maybe it's a brother or sister in the Lord next to you, and all of a sudden God has healed their body. And you are praying, you are a part of that, and all of a sudden God's healed, and you're just like, woo! Man, God, you're bigger than this. You're bigger than any of this. Oh my goodness, God. And those are all important for us to be echoes of the testimonies that we hear around us. But you need to pick up your own testimony. You can't live off someone else's. You need to pick up your testimony. They had to pick up a stone, every one of them, and carry it. Revelations 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Don't ever think that your testimony isn't important. According to the word of God, you are made as an overcomer by the blood of Jesus and by your testimony. Romans 8:37 says, no, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. More because I didn't just get delivered. I didn't just get healed. I didn't just make it through the Jordan waters. I didn't just make it through the fire and through the flood, but I've got a testimony and I'm going to shout it out to the Lord. So I didn't just get what I needed, but he received this so I can be a trumpet for the Lord. And I can speak out of his goodness. I can declare it to everyone around me. You see, your testimony is what makes you valuable to the kingdom. Your testimony is what makes you dangerous to the enemy. Your testimony is what makes you a threat to hell. Shine before men so they might see your good deeds and glorify the Lord. You know, and I know, there are some great people in this world. And they're shining, and they're on the front of a lot of newspapers and a lot of magazines, giving millions of dollars out and around, more money in one shot than all of us put together having. But all glory is going where? Most times to themselves, most times to their company, most times to their cause or their thing. But that's not what you and I are called to do. We are called to decrease so he can increase. And your job and my job, when God turns around and we call out to him and he answers, oh man, we're not to hold it on to ourselves. That's keeping the glory to ourselves. And I'm telling you now, if you keep it to yourself, it will corrupt you. It'll go to your head. Absolute power corrupts us because we cannot handle it. That's why we need to release it out, and we speak it out. We speak it out. We declare it out to everyone around us. Look what God has done. Look what he's done. I once was this, but now I'm this. I had this in my body, and now I don't. Look, my God is bigger than you ever thought. In other words, your personal victory benefits no one except yourself if you keep it quiet. But when you open your mouth, and you declare the faithfulness of God and declare the mercy of God that delivered you, that restored you and set your feet, your testimony becomes a weapon. Your testimony becomes a sword in your hand. Your testimony becomes an instrument of power that sets the captive free. Jesus said, I've come to preach the good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to release the captive, to set free the prisoner, and to declare the year of the Lord's favor. In other words, Paul says, I didn't come with just persuasive words, but I came with a power and demonstration of God. This world doesn't need another good fill. They need Jesus. They don't need another good church service. They need Jesus. Amen? They don't need another good song. They don't need another song. They need Jesus. Amen? And when we worship, and when we gather together, and that it's not just because we have nothing else to do. My honey to-do list is pretty long. I got a lot to do. But we gather together as an expression of what God has done. If he can save me, he can save anyone. If he can keep me saved, he can keep anyone saved. My God is so great, and he is so powerful. Your testimony becomes a lifeline to someone else that's sinking. What do you mean? God helped you? What do you mean? Are you serious? He did this? All of a sudden, it becomes a lifeline. Why? Because it's a breather of life. You're putting faith and you're bringing hope into someone else that God doesn't play favorites, the Word of God says. And if he can do it for you, he can do it for them. It might look different because we're all different. And because we've all come to the Lord and he's got a plan for all of us that is a little different. So the outcome might look different for all of us, but at the end of the day, God plays no favorites. If I would say I'm his favorite, then I would say you're his favorite too, because we're all his favorites. And that's the Lord that we serve. Many of God's people have been shamed into hiding their testimony. Many of God's people are afraid to give their testimony. Some feel, I don't really got a testimony. I grew up in church. I really did this. I didn't do this. And I don't really got anything. Yes, you do. You have a testimony. Other people have been shamed into not giving their testimony. They're afraid to do it because the devil makes them believe that if they talk about it, it might open a door for it to come back. As if the devil's got power over us. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Or that it might open some door to come back, or it might fall back into the pit where they were delivered from. There is nothing, that is nothing but a spirit of fear, manipulation and intimidation that the enemy is trying to bring to you. But perfect love casts out all fear. See, the problem is, when we just get into ritual and we get into routine of doing, well, I know what to do as a Christian. I grew up in church. I know just the perfect time if I really wanted to, listening to this song. Okay, this is the time I put my right hand up, and then I just slowly bring my left here. And I know the perfect time. Okay, oh, we're about to pray. Oh, I close my eyes and left eye just a little bit open so I could see what's going. You know, I know how to play church. I know how to do it all. But you see, that's only really deceiving ourselves. It's only robbing ourselves. The enemy tries to bring familiarity in. He tries to get us into routine and into things so that we will get stuck. He tries to whisper in, you don't have a testimony, or oh, heaven, you better not say anything, because if you talk about what you just went through, oh, you're going to get stuck back in it again. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The devil wants to keep your mouth shut. Why? Because he knows your testimony has the power to bring life. It has the power to bring hope. It has the power to bring joy and peace and bring restoration and deliverance. Look at your neighbor right now and say, I've got a testimony. Oh, you're going to help me a little bit here, so I'm going to push you. You see, it's mine. It's my own. I didn't borrow it from somebody else. I'm not trying to copy somebody else. I have a testimony, and it's my own. It was my pain, my heartache, it was my confusion and my fear, it was my loss, it was the fire that I went through. It was real, it was hot, and it hurt. At times I felt like I wasn't going to make it. At times I felt like I was going to lose my mind. At times I felt like I was going to die, but I made it. The attack didn't kill me. The staph infection, I didn't die from. The car wreck, didn't kill me. Falling off the roof didn't paralyze me. Listen, my ministry's been attacked. My character has been attacked. My finances have been attacked. But it hasn't killed me. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but I didn't die. I've walked through the fiery furnace, but I didn't get burned up. I've waded through deep waters, but I didn't drown. I've heard the devil say, I'm going to kill you, but I'm still here, healed, delivered, set free, and preaching the gospel. I've got a testimony. For 3 months, I fought hell every day for my life, for my future, for my destiny. And there were times I felt like I couldn't make it. And there were people who even said, I don't think he's going to make it. But God gave me a testimony. God raised me up. He healed me, delivered me, and he's delivered me from the hand of the enemy. And he's given me a testimony. He's given all of us a testimony. They said you shouldn't have made it out of the car wreck. Or maybe an officer and that on the scene said, it's impossible for anyone to have survived that kind of crash. They said you shouldn't have survived that drug overdose, maybe. Someone has told you that. Or that you lost your home or your car or your money and you should have lost your mind. You should have gone crazy. Others have gone through a lot less and they didn't make it and they've been locked up in the institution. You shouldn't have survived that sickness you went through. Am I talking to anyone today? We've been through things, have we not? We're in real life here. You shouldn't have gotten that position in the job. Others were more qualified. You shouldn't have been living in that kind of house, living in, driving that kind of car, and that you shouldn't be making that kind of money. But God. If you don't catch anything else today, catch that phrase. But God. Has anyone had a but God testimony? Where all of a sudden you're going through something and everything's going in a different direction and everyone else is saying this, but then but God shows into the scene and says, ha ha, no way. It's going this way. But God. Listen, Jesus has the final word all the time. You want to listen to someone else? Go ahead. But if your heart gets connected with someone else says and it's not from God, heaven forbid. You're in for a lot of pain and a lot of trouble and a lot of weight and a lot of stress and a lot of worry and a lot of stuff because the enemy will play off everything. But he can't touch God's word. He can't touch what God does. And that's so hang on to him. Psalms 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and of my portion forever. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at him and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I should be dead, but God. But God has healed me. But God has delivered me. But God has promoted me. But God has protected me. But God has anointed me. Has anyone got a testimony today? The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a great miracle when God delivered them from the fiery furnace. See, but the most valuable thing that they received that day was not the miracle, but it was the testimony. It was the testimony. Because the miracle was theirs alone. It was there only to their benefit. It was just for that day and that problem. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, it says, if that is the case, and that talking back to King Nebuchadnezzar who says, if you don't bow down to me, I'm going to put you in the fire furnace, I'm going to kill you. And this is their response to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship your golden image, which you have set up. In other words, I'm okay. I can hold on to what I know is right because I'm being held on by God. He's got his arms around me. Have you ever had a hug from someone that's a real hugger? Dave Cutting is one of these people. And that, no, I'm just teasing. Please don't do that. I'll get in trouble later. But no, where you turn around and you go to kind of give a hug, and you go to give this hug, and all of a sudden, you meant just to kind of that quick little embrace and go, But then all of a sudden, they just kind of linked the fingers together and kind of drew you right in there, and they didn't leave you, let you go. They just needed that deep hug, right? They just needed to be drawn in close. Listen to me. God has linked his fingers, and he's pulled you in tight. All you got to do is just let it in. Just wrap your arms around. Take the hug. Take the love. Take the love that's being given to you. See, God's love, and he's pouring it out all the time. The problem is sometimes we repel it because we get stubborn and prideful and other things. Just take it. Just take that hug. Just let it there. Don't say, I'm not a hugger. Just receive that, right? Like, let your daddy, let Daddy God hug you and pull you in close. Let him love on you. Your testimony, it still brings hope to the hopeless. It's still bringing strength to the weak. The testimony of these three Hebrew guys and that stood up for God, even today we're talking about it. Years and years and years, generation after generation. Now listen, Revelations 12:11. I want to read the next part of that verse. Because it's pretty famous to talk about the first two parts, but not the next. It says, Revelations 12:11. Let me read it. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. How many times I've said that? We've heard that. But listen to the next part. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Man, we are so quick to run from a problem. We are so quick to run from situations that are tough. The Bible says that we are overcomers when we allow the blood of Jesus Christ to rule in our lives, when we begin to declare our testimony, and we don't tuck tail and run. We stand in the middle of it. We stand in the middle of it. Jesus went to sleep in the boat that everyone else was afraid to be in. We overcome today by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and not backing down. Not backing down. So many times I've watched and witnessed believers, oh, I heard from the Lord. Oh, I really feel that God wants me to do this. They start to take the step, and then all of a sudden, a little negative word, another little one, and in no time, they've given up on what God has put in front of them. Do you know how many mantles, the anointing, that calling, that word God has spoken are laying all over the ground, you know, in sound, all over the ground in here? Because God spoke, hey, I want you to do this. Hey, I've got this for you. Hey, and he's spoken something out. And we might have got excited at first, and then all of a sudden we quit on it. Why? Because we listened to the people on our right and our left. Listen to me. Sometimes you just need to put earplugs in, even when you're around Christians. Because if a Christian is stale and stuck, and they're giving in to flesh and walking in flesh, all you're going to get from them is flesh. And listen to me, the Bible is very clear. Spirit and flesh, they war. Amen? All the time. And so sometimes you got to put the blinders up like the horse. You got to put the earplugs in and say, you know, this is too fragile. This is too early in the process of what God is developing. I still don't know all the steps. I cannot allow someone else's voice to deter me from what God has put in my heart. And you've just got to shut out things until you're coming to a place that, okay, I know it's you, God, okay? And then you seek godly counsel and ask for advice and wisdom and from someone that you know is a good believer and that loves God and is passionate for him today. Today, not 10 years ago they were passionate, but passionate for him today. Because if they're not passionate for him today, then all you're going to get is flesh today. Be careful, be weary of all what God has given you and trust it. Someone's going to be delivered today because of your testimony. Someone's going to be healed because of your testimony. Someone's going to receive boldness and strength and try again because of your testimony. Someone who was going to quit the ministry is going to stay in ministry because of your testimony. Someone who was on the verge of a nervous breakdown is going to have find peace and comfort and strength because of your testimony. Listen, I'm trying to speak some life into this so we get a hold of it, that we need not to shut our mouths, but we got to speak it out loud. Amen? Look what the Lord has done in my life, in what he has done. No wonder the devil has tried to knock you down. No wonder you have been going through a fiery furnace. He wants you to shut your mouth. He wants to kill your testimony. See, when David was running at Saul, and that he went with his mouth open. And that, Philistine, you might be Philistine, you might be big, you might got a big sword, you might have this, but I come in the name of God, and he's bigger. He's just bigger than you. See, you're nothing. You're nothing. And he came running at him. And so in that part, as we see that David, as he ran to Saul, and he takes a stone and he knocks him down. And then he went and he got Goliath's sword. And he took from him the sword and he cut off Goliath's own head with Goliath's own sword. Now listen to me. Two things Goliath's sword represents. The first is, in the hand of Goliath, when Goliath had the sword, it was that which was meant to kill, steal, and destroy. We could call it sickness or disease from the enemy. We could call it debt or marriage problems. We could call it attacks on your character. But the bottom line is, it was that which the devil sent to kill you, kill your ministry, kill your marriage, and kill your family. That sword in the enemy's hand was meant to take you down. That word, that sickness, that problem, that whatever, it was meant to knock you out. But the second thing that sword represents, in other words, when it moved from the enemy's hand and now into David's hand. You see, when you put that same sword into David's hand, that same sword that was designed to kill him, when it turned in, it ended up turning into the testimony of whatever the devil designs and launches against him will not work and will backfire. So the enemy came standing out there with his armor and this big sword, and the very sword that he intended to kill David with ended up killing himself. The very attack the enemy is bringing on your marriage, your family, on your life, and that the very attack that he is bringing, and that the moment you can get it into your heart and mind, wait a minute, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Wait a minute, God, you've got me. All of a sudden, we realize the enemy has got nothing. We take that sword, we take that problem, we take that situation, and we flip it around because the word says God will turn everything around for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He'll turn it around. So you grab that sword from the enemy's hand, and you use it against him. You say, you know what? No, this was meant to kill me, but I'm still here. This was meant to destroy my marriage, but no way. In the name of Jesus, I speak life over it. You see, if we keep our mouth shut and we just allow the enemy to do, and that, I forget who said it, but the phrase that goes around a lot is, all evil needs to succeed is for good to remain silent. All the devil needs, and that's why he's wanting us to be quiet, to destroy more lives around us, to destroy your family's life, is for you to remain silent. Don't pray. Just remain silent. Just kind of hope things get better. But see, God never called us to do that. He called us warriors. He called us champions. He called us overcomers. And he's called us to pick up our swords. He's called us to grab a hold of the enemy's swords. If you see someone that's sick or someone with a problem, all you got to do is say, okay, wait a minute here. God, is this situation, will I see this in heaven? And if you can't say you would see it in heaven, then it's a great opportunity for you to bring a little heaven down to earth so that that person can see that God is good, that he can see that God is powerful and God is more than able. Amen? That's what he's called us to do as believers. So the first part representing of that sword is when it's in the enemy's hand, it's meant to destroy you. But if you will get a hold of that sword, pick up that sickness, that problem, whatever it is, and you turn it around and flip it around and you begin to speak in and to pray in it, it all backfires. It's the testimony that no weapon formed against you would prosper. It's the testimony that if God be for you, who could be against you, or what could be against you? And David cut off Goliath's head with his own sword. Some of you, instead of murmuring or complaining about what you're going through or what the devil is doing, ought to be praising the Lord, ought to be saying, thank you, Mr. Devil. Thank you, Mr. Devil, for giving something to work with. Thank you, Mr. Devil, for putting a sword in my hand to cut your head off, to show everyone around that you have nothing on God. Psalms 9, verse 13 and 17, David tells how God lifted him up from the gates of death so that he could testify to the believers, to the church, to the Israelites of his deliverance. He says, what the enemy has sent to destroy him backfired in the enemy's face and destroyed the enemy. I want to prophesy to someone right now that God is going to turn it around for you. You're in a place right now, and God is wanting to say to you, he is going to turn it around. God is going to make the devil's plans backfire in his face if you will hold on to God. He will deliver you. He will put the enemy's sword in your hand, and you will cut off the enemy's sword with his own sword. God will give you a testimony. You need to know that there is no miracle without a problem. Amen? There's no victory without a battle. There is no crown without a cross. There's no resurrection without a death. And there's no testimony without a test. If someone is listening to me and you're going through a fire right now, you're in the fight of your life, or maybe for your life, you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you've been attacked physically, spiritually, mentally, financially, your family's under attack, your marriage is under attack, your ministry's under attack, it seems like all hell has been unleashed against you. But God wants to tell you, you got to make it. Not only make it, you're not going under, but you're going over. You're not going to burn up in the fire, but you're going to come out with victory and smelling sweet on the other side. You're coming out with a testimony that will shake hell and break down walls and set the captive free. When the children of Israel crossed the Jordan, they set up two pillars. One was in the middle of the Jordan, and that where they had the Ark of the Covenant, and the other was on the other side of the Jordan. The first one, on the midst of the Jordan, in the midway praise, the midway point, and that it was an I'm going through it praise. Has anyone had an I'm going through it praise, or you're in the middle of it, you're not through it yet, but you're in the middle of it, and God is just reminding you, hey, I got you, I'm here. I'm going through sickness, but I'm going to praise him anyways. I'm going through a divorce or struggles, but I'm going to praise him anyways. I'm going through financial problems. They're threatening to foreclose on my house, but I'm going to praise him anyways. I'm going through it with my children. They might be on drugs or rebellious or hateful, but I'm going to praise him anyways. Come on, somebody. And that I don't know what you're going through today, but you need to shame the devil by giving God praise. Give God a shout of praise. Don't hold back from him. That pillar in the middle was meant to be a sign that I'm not through the Jordan yet, but I'm going to go through it. It's my midway praise. I'm in the middle of the battle, and it's not worked out yet, but I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to shout out his name. You might be in the darkest time of your life, but give God praise. Paul and Silas were beaten. They were humiliated publicly. They were bound and cast into the inner prison in Acts chapter 16. They could have murmured and complained. They could have been angry and bitter. They could have slipped over into self-pity, but they didn't. The Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray and sing praises and that out to God. And God shook the prison so bad off its foundations that it shook the doors and the hinges open, broke the shackles off every prisoner. Listen, God works the night shift. In fact, he does his best work in the dark. You might not see it but he's working. You might not feel it, but he's working. Tell your neighbor, he's working on it. Tell your neighbor, he's working on it. He's working on it. He knows. He's got it. He works the night shift. Job chapter 9, 11, Job says, when he was passing me, I cannot see him. When he goes by, I cannot perceive him. So what is Job saying? Job was saying, God went by him, but he didn't notice. He didn't recognize. God was moving all around me, but I didn't perceive it. In Job 23, 8 and 9, it says, but if I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he's at work in the north, I don't see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. In other words, Job is saying here, he's saying, he's working on my left hand, but I can't see what he's doing. He's working on my right hand, but he won't let me see it. And again, I just end up stopping to tell someone today, he is at work. Even if you can't see it, he's working on your left hand. He's working on your right hand and what's on this side of the problems. And when he gets through with it, what he's going to do is he's going to flip the light on and you're going to see that he's been working all the time while you were in the dark. When you don't get it, you don't see it, you don't understand, but it's not changing, it's not happening, oh my goodness. And stress and anxiety and problems start coming up all around you. And all of a sudden, God's going to flick the switch on and you're going to say, oh my goodness, that was easy. Oh my goodness, what happened there? It's because God works best in the dark. And there's nothing that he can't do. Darkness has nothing on him. Light is stronger than darkness. When the children of Israel got up to the other side of the Jordan, you see, the first pillar is, I'm going through it, praise. That's what it was. They put up those rocks. It was, hey, I'm going through it. God's in the middle of the storm. God's in the middle of the valley of shadow of death. He's in the middle of my problems. He's got me. It's my going through praise. The second pillar, this is your thank God I made it praise, right? Thank God I made, thank God I've got a testimony and I made it through. I don't know about you and that, but sometimes we need to shout out that thank God I made it praise. Does anyone know who knows a miracle and they've had a miracle and they're still here? Is there anyone who knows that if I hadn't been for God, you would have died? If it wasn't for the hand of God, if it wasn't for God intervening, stepping in to heal you, to restore your marriage that was on the rocks, but now it's on the rock of Christ. See, I'm just wondering if there's anyone here who has a thank God, I made it testimony. I thank God, I made it praise. See, I'm just wondering, has anyone here ever been through a storm and it looked like, and it sounded like, and it felt like you weren't going to make it, but God came through and he came up on the scene and he made a way out. And know that the way God, he rebuked the storm and he brought you through. There's a song we used to sing called Shout Unto God. It says, the enemy has been defeated and death couldn't hold him down. We're going to lift up our voice in victory. We're going to make our praises loud. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Oh, we need to open our mouths. I've got a testimony, do you? If you do, then shout it out from the mountaintops. Don't hide it under a bush, oh no. David said in Psalms 42, he brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And then in verse 3, he says, he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Shine before men. Let them see your good deeds that they might glorify the Lord. So the word of God says, and David in chapter 40, verse 2 and 3, he says, he brought me also up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What is your life saying to the world around? What is your life bringing? Is it bringing just a good Phil? Is it bringing just a good you? Or is it bringing the Lord? Is it bringing the great I am? Is it bringing the power of Jesus? But God. David was stuck in a horrible pit. He was sinking in the miry clay. All joy, all peace was fading from his view. It looked like he was going to die. It looked like he would never be happy again, and maybe you're in the same places. It looked like the devil had won, but God. But God reached down into that horrible pit, pulled him out of the miry clay. He pulled me, he pulled you out of the miry clay. And he set our feet upon the rock, and he gave me back the joy. He gave me back the peace. He gave a song back into the heart. You see, what David was saying is, God has given me a testimony, and when people hear my testimony, they will honor God. They will put their trust in him for their own deliverance, for their own miracle, for their own relationship. Does anyone have a testimony? Does anyone have a thank God I made it praise? Does anyone know how God gives, how to give God praise, See, someone needs to open their mouth and testify. Someone needs to open their mouth and shout it out. Someone needs to shine bright for the Lord. If not, what are we doing everything for? If not, who will tell the people? Who will tell our brothers and sisters? Who will tell our family, our co-workers? How will they know if they're not heard? How will they know if they don't see? Someone needs to open their mouth and give God praise. Tell the devil he's a liar. Tell the devil that he has lost his grip on you. Tell the devil your God is greater than divorce. Tell your devil that God is greater than cancer and heart problems. Tell your God that God is greater than sugar, diabetes, and high pressure. That God is greater than arthritis and deafness and cataracts. Come on, somebody. God is greater than drug addiction, homosexuality, perversion. He's greater than any struggle that you and I might have. He's greater than adultery. He's greater than sex before marriage. He's greater than all the addictions. He's greater than my mind when my mind's not working right. He's greater than my ailments and my body. He's greater than anything that you and I might face. Oh, this world, they think that everything is greater than anything else. But God's greater than it all. No matter what you face, no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard it gets, and that God's greater. He's greater. He's greater. Oh, somebody needs to lift their hands and lift their voice and begin to praise God like he deserves. Praise him like he's brought you out of something. Ashley, if you can come and worship team, we're going to close with a song. And that we need to just begin to praise God. And that like you're thankful, whether you're in that middle of the Jordan and you set up stones and you're not through and you're like, man, I don't see the other side yet. But man, I'm going to praise God anyways because I know he's with me. Or you've made it to the other side and now you're like, oh my goodness, you set this up. I'm like, whoa, I made it. I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to lose my mind. I thought everything was crumbling and gone. But thank God, man, I made it to the other side. And if I can make it, you can make it. If I can make it, you can make it. Talk to your neighbor. Tell them and that I've got a testimony. Say it to them today, right now. I've got a testimony.